Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to WSI-sponsored Pagans Tonight Radio Network. Come explore news, information, entertainment, and ideas from a pagan point of view around the globe. Tune in every night for interviews and lively discussions on current events, philosophies, traditional and not-so-traditional practices, DIY projects, the who's who and what's what of our growing pagan community right here on Blog Talk Radio in English and now in Spanish. Good afternoon, good morning, wherever you are in the world. Tonight is Wild Wednesday, and I am Tracy Logan Wood. I have no idea where Ed is. I know he is on a train en route to the Kansas City Festival, and he might not have a phone signal wherever he is traveling on the train. So tonight is Music Mania. So last week, a lot of you were very excited about a lot of the music that we played, so we decided there was so much music we wanted to play that we just couldn't fit it in all into one show, and so we were going to do another music night tonight to accommodate some of you who were really excited about us playing music. So if you have some requests, you can put them in the chat room. Otherwise, I think I am going to play a brand spanking new song. So we just got these last night, as a matter of fact, from the ever-fantastic Kenny Kline, who has come out with a brand-new album. And Kenny Kline is quickly becoming one of my favorite pagan artists. And I think last week we played Diana's Moon. So some of you are familiar with that. That is one of my favorite Kenny Kline songs of all time, because Kenny Kline is awesome. So here we go. Here is a brand new Kenny Kline song called Marie Laveau. And hopefully Ed will be calling in shortly if he can get a phone signal. Otherwise, you guys are just stuck with me and lots of music.
Along the river bright and the bayou churning, they dance veiled in white to the fires burning. Maidens called Bambula, djembe conscious souls, the loa gathered soon there around Marie Laveau. Down on Congo Square, the insistent beating, when rum was shared and the dove wings beating, rhythms echoed long them on the river's flow. Egrets heard the song of Marie Laveau. You can carve an X on a grave if you can find it. You can leave all the mojo you have, and she will find it. By live oak and by palm, by heron and by crow, you can leave your cares beside so in the air, the silence in the water, fire eats despair, the earth hides her daughter. Don't draw too near, lest the spell you know leave a lock of hair for Marie Laveau. You can carve an X on her grave if you can find it. You can leave all the mojo you have, and she will bind it by live oak and by pound, by heron and by crow. You can leave your cares beside
So that was Kenny Cline off of his brand new album. So some of you in the chat room were asking questions. I recommend that you go to his website if you want to know anything about the new CD. I have not gotten the new CD yet. He just sent me MP3s for now. So until I get the CD, I can't look at the cover information that's in there. But it should be up on his website. Anyway, this next band is one of my favorite bands, and I got an email. So this is the Dragon Ritual Drummers is going to be up next. This song is called Serpentine Seduction. However, I wanted to address, I got an email from Witch Doctor Utu, and he said he heard a rumor that somebody on Pagans Tonight said that they were breaking up. So they are not breaking up. That is completely untrue. It was not us who said it. There are plenty of podcasts out there with the name Pagan, so I'm sure it's easy to get some of them confused. So the rumor about the Dragon Ritual Drummers breaking up is absolutely and completely untrue, because if I had heard such a rumor, that would have made me cry, and I would have had to have emailed Witch Doctor Utu and said, what happened? Or begged him not to break the band up, whatever the case may be. But they are not breaking up, so that is untrue. If you've heard that rumor, it is not true. So this is off of one of their earlier CDs. This is called Serpentine Seduction. We'll be back after this. Thank you. And that was the Dragon Ritual Drummers. So anyway, you guys are not making any requests in the chat room, which means that you might just be stuck with my whim tonight. But that's okay. So somebody asked if I had an S.J. Tucker song, and I fibbed because I actually do have one lonely S.J. Tucker song. So since you asked, I will play it. And I guess I'm going to kind of gather that Ed is completely unable to call in from the train. But that's okay because it's a music show, and I'm pretty sure I can handle this by myself. So the only S.J. Tucker song that I have is Go Away God Boy. So here you go.
Yeah.
back after S.J. Tucker's Go Away God Boy. And this is Tracy Logan Wood. If you're confused because you don't hear us talking so much, Ed is on a train somewhere to Kansas. And we had planned a music show tonight because everybody was so excited and requesting songs last week. But I will let you all in on a little secret that a little birdie told me, because some of you out there are very big Wendy Rule fans. I heard that Wendy Rule is going to be appearing on Over to Oberon on June 6th. I should also be receiving via Oberon, via Mark Mandrake, some Wendy Rule CDs. I hope they're new and stuff that I don't already have. I'm not sure. He might have just sent some stuff along to make sure that I had it because he wanted to play it on his show. Tonight, if you stick around, in about a half hour is the Over to Oberon and Ariel show, and they are celebrating their one-year anniversary. So stick around and tune in and help them celebrate their one-year anniversary, because we are really glad here on the Pagan Tonight Radio Network to have some of the people in our community do shows with us, like Selena Fox and the Circle Craft Study Show, as well as the Pagan Warrior Radio. And Brendan interrupts in the chat room to say that he hopes nobody drops the house on Ed. I hope that doesn't happen to Ed either. But I'm pretty sure that Ed's not wearing any stripy socks, so, you know, that might be contingent upon whether or not he's a target for having a house dropped on him or not. Anyway, so, so Oz and Ariel are celebrating 1 year on our network with us, and you guys should all tune in and call into his show or participate in the chat during the show and let him know how much you appreciate him taking time out of his very busy wizard schedule to do a radio show with us. So there you have it. So Wendy Rule will be on OOA on June 6th, as I have heard it. So if you are a fan of Wendy Rule, make sure that you do not miss that show. You can tweet it and Facebook it and all kinds of stuff and let your friends know. Anyway, so we should move on to some music. And I know some of the hosts here, we all kind of get stuck into kind of our little favorite songs that we like to play on our show and whatnot. But I should whip this song out and play it tonight because it is Shabbaton. And if you have never heard Shabbaton before, you are in for a treat, because Shabbaton is kind of like this awesome one-man show. And he's pretty cool. He, for the last couple years, has been one of the premier featured artists at PSG, and there are plenty of YouTube videos and stuff if you haven't actually seen him. He will rock your socks. So here's some Shabbaton. This one is called My Way of Life.
Oh,
識と非常識の隙間は何もなくて、やり場のない拳を振り落とせる場所もなくて、聞いておけよすために血を使うんじゃない、人の強さを認めるのが怖くて、罪の意識がだんだんなくなってるぜ、矛盾もあれば恥も変わるけど、勝手さもあれば俺も異人間だもの、何もない人を傷つけたり泣かしたことはない、何だっていいとそれが俺の生き方さ、ための言葉身にしか入れない、吠えたやつらの言い訳、大きな勇気を持って旅に出かけよう、そして小さな山地もうどうでもいい、臭い臭いは誰のための言葉、肝心なことは俺とどうするかさ、矛盾もあれば恥もただ終わるけど、勝手さもあれば俺も何もない人を傷つけたり泣かしたことはない、何だって言うとそれが俺の生き方さ、
we're back here on Pagans Tonight for a Wild Wednesday, the music episode, and I think I need something a little bouncy after that one. That one was a little too mellow for me tonight, and you guys got awful quiet in the chat room, so perhaps it was a little bit too mellow for you. So let us rock out with some Sawathadia. This is called Granny's Bedtime Tonic.
When I went down on my back foot,
So we're back. That was Thawathadea and Granny's Bedtime Tonic. Now, they're a band who does an awful lot of shows all over the place, particularly in and around Tennessee. This last weekend, they were at the Unity Festival in Tennessee. And if you go to Oberon's Facebook page, there is a picture of Damascus jamming with Oberon, so which I thought was kind of neat. So anyway, if you have a chance to check them out live, I would recommend that you do that. So Thawathadea is, they're a very fun band and a very fun show, and they will be coming to PSG in Illinois this year again, because I had mentioned before that I would kind of like to see what spontaneous jam session might occur if Thawathadea and the Dragon Ritual drummers kind of got together and hung out a little bit. I think it would be kind of cool. Anyway, before I go into some more music, I wanted to let you guys know, if you have not checked out the Wild Hunt news blog, there is an article up called Community Pagan Notes, Solar Cross Expands, and then there's some other stuff mixed in there, Pagan Values, the Wiccan Tree Conversation, and more. But as far as the Solar Cross, that is a pagan service organization that was put together by, or it says it's co-founded by T. Thorne Coyle, and they just put one of our very own priestesses from the Priestess Show, Crystal Blanton, on the board. So she is the author of Bridging the Gap, and she is one of our priestesses on the Priestess Show, and you can hear her this Friday night. We will be live on the air talking about the crone, because this is Goddess Month for the Priestess Show. So we've already covered the Maiden and the Mother, and this Friday we will be covering the crone. So you should tune in and hear Crystal Blanton for yourself. She is an awesome lady. So anyway, I guess we will move on to some more music. So I was kind of thinking of what else I wanted to play that I haven't played in a really long time, or just hasn't been played on the show in a really long time, because we have all kinds of stuff. Like I said, we kind of get stuck every now and then, each of the hosts, into our favorite songs that we like to play. And so I was kind of thinking about what has not been played in a while. But I think I'm still kind of in a bouncy mood, so I think I'm going to play Scatter the Mud. So we'll be back after this, and I don't know, there's only like 15 minutes left of the show, so we'll see how many more songs we can squeeze in tonight, since this is the Music Mania episode. So stick around, we'll be back after this song. Thank you. And I guess the song's not truly over until the drippy music or drippy water in the background is done playing. But I'm going to talk over it anyway. So I got a request for some Kellyanna from the chat room. So I am going to play some Kellyanna because, you know, it's an excuse to play Kellyanna with the Dragon Ritual drummers. So this is called The Fall.
Thank you.
And we're back. That was Kellyanna with the Dragon Ritual Drummers. And that was a song called The Fall. And although somebody was asking about different songs that we had here in the Pagans Tonight switchboard, and I realize there's a lot of stuff that people put on YouTube and stuff like that. We only get a certain number of cuts from each CD by each artist, because otherwise they would be giving all their music away for free. So there's only like two or three songs that are released off of each CD. So I realize some of you do indeed have your favorites by each artist. We don't always have them available to us to play, because we are trying to help to promote the artists so they can sell CDs and, you know, put a little food in their bellies. Anyway, we have time for one more song before we switch over to Oberon and Ariel and their guest. And their guest is Caitlin Coda. So you should definitely stick around for that. And so I think I'm going to go with another new one by Kenny Kline called Serve off of his brand spanking new CD. And then I will be back to finish wrapping up the show before we move over to Oberon and Ariel. So thank you for sticking around and hanging out with us for this show and for music anyway, without Ed. So here's Kenny Kline, and I'll be back to wrap up the show.
My lady and my lord.
diamond mason carved my stone. Have a mason carved my stone. Here is one who has gone home, for he lived to serve his lady and his lord. Lord, Lord, he lived to serve his lady and his lord.
Well, that's always fun when the switchboard just randomly kicks me off the air. Well,
wow,
anyway. So we are finishing up our show. This was Wild Wednesday, and this was our music show. And since I randomly got kicked off the air, there was a couple minutes of silence. So we are going to be moving on to over to Oberon and Ariel now. This is their one-year anniversary show, so please do stick in and stick around and listen to their show tonight and call in, participate in the chat room, and we will see you next week. So blessed be, and I'm sure Ed will be back with some interesting stories from his camping trip. So good night, everybody, and over to over. Oh, I can't even talk now.
Welcome to the magical world of Oberon and Ariel. Their continuing mission, to explore strange new realms, to seek out new ideas and new possibilities, to boldly go where no show has gone before. And now, over to Oberon and Ariel.
Good evening. Good evening. I'm Oberon.
And I'm Ariel.
And this is our show.
Our show.
Tonight
is our 52nd show.
Wow. Wow, 52nd show. We've been on the air a whole full year on the air.
Huzzah.
Wow.
Huzzah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. That's exciting. I never thought, never gave it a thought when we started out this. Never didn't really think this far ahead. We just said, okay, we'll do this every week. You know?
Yep. What,
wow.
Rest of our lives, as long as they'll have us?
Yeah, well, you know, that's sort of the question is, when do we stop?
Well, I'm not ready to.
Okay. Well,
before we introduce our guest for tonight, we'd like to catch up with the news of the day, and I have two items here. The first one is that Colin Powell has now come out and endorsed same-sex marriage.
Really? Well, that's nice. How about that? Wow, it's becoming an avalanche, isn't it?
Well, you know, when you get a major military presence endorsing it, then I'd say it's just a matter of making it a formality.
Yeah, the President of the United States. I mean, you know, damn.
Yeah. And the other one is that Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook fame is being, the shareholders are suing him and some banks. He's being sued by his shareholders because, I don't know if you're, how many people are aware of it, but his Facebook just, it went public. And they were selling stock shares last week. Well, they thought it was going to be a huge success, and it isn't. It's done nothing but plunge down.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And he doesn't have, what I'm reading is that he doesn't have a sustainable business model, and that it was like, the other thing I read is that this story contains everything that's wrong with Wall Street. So there's some accusations of insider trading. The banks are not going to be happy. But then the other thing was they could not show where they were making a profit, which is real interesting.
Hmm. Well, gosh, the trials and tribulations of the rich and famous, you know.
Oh, geez, really? There's something about his face when I look at him. this isn't nice of me, but I just want to smack him. There's something about him. He just looks like such a, you know, smart ass or something.
Well, maybe he's getting smacked.
He's getting smacked oh, for sure now.
There we go.
Yeah.
Well, I was just last weekend out at the Pagan Unity Festival in Tennessee,
yeah,
where I had a blast. That was so much fun.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was great. Wendy Rule was out there, and she's going to be on our show in a couple of weeks, and
mm-hmm.
Going to be back here also doing a house concert here at Ravenhaven, and Stephanie and Raven Grimassi were there.
Oh,
and,
that's right. Yeah,
that was
yeah.
really great. And Christopher Penzack was there, and Dorothy Morrison was there, and our friend Mark Mandrake the magician from Chicago,
uh-huh.
Who's associated with the show. And it was just fabulous. We just had such a great time. But the best thing of all, I think, that was really rousing was the band Tuatha De Mi, who we had on the show some time ago.
Yeah.
And boy, do they are amazing. They just rock with their tribal rave music, Celtic drumming. Made me feel like it was a Burning Man or something. It was great.
I first met them when we were circling around the campfire. You know, and I just went up to him and said, "You are channeling some kind of wild energy here. I don't know what you're doing, but whoa."
Where was that? At Starwood or something?
No, that was at Serpentstone, a little gathering place.
Oh, it's Serpentstone. Oh, really? Oh, how nice.
Yeah, and that's when I'm – and they're really nice people, too, you know. So
they are. They're just the sweetest folks.
Yeah, they're really, really nice folks.
Well, I hope their star continues rising because they deserve it. They are great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on then to tonight's special guest, who is Catalin Coda. And Catalin is the author of Sacred Path of Reiki, Healing as a Spiritual Discipline, and Fire of the Goddess, Nine Paths to Ignite the Sacred Feminine. Both of these are published by Llewellyn. Catalin is a teacher, a workshop leader, a visionary artist, a poet, and a dreamer, and she's been leading workshops with an integrated and multidimensional approach for 15 years on Reiki, the chakra healing, women's wisdom and spirituality, tarot, and sacred crafting. Catalin is an experienced Reiki master, having given hundreds of sessions and taught dozens of students around the world.
Catalin's current healing work incorporates indigenous wisdom, shamanic principles, and Reiki healing. She uses the drum and journey method for divination, extraction, power animal retrieval, and soul retrieval. After spending a year studying Wicca and Reiki in the U.S., Catalin lived and traveled in India for 7 years and received teachings from various teachers in the traditions of Hinduism, Zen, and Tibetan Buddhism. While living in and running a small hotel and foundation to help women and children in South India, Catalin developed a strong passion for earth stories, women's mysteries, and the mystic expression of our world.
Catalin is a certified Sivananda yoga instructor from Sivananda Ashram in Kerala, South India, and she took refuge with His Holiness Orgen Trinley Dorje, leader of the Karma Kagyu lineage of Tibetan Buddhism. Her studies in Wicca, Tibetan Buddhism, Reiki, and Shamanism have fused over the years, developing into her vision of the Reiki warrior philosophy. Catalin currently resides in Hawaii. Visit her website, www.catalinkoda.com, for more information. So, welcome to our show, Catalin.
Welcome. Hi. Aloha. Yeah. Welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. Aloha, yes.
Aloha, yeah. Well, you sound like quite an adventurous person, Catalin. You've packed a lot into your life already. How would you define sacred feminine, and why do you feel this is important today?
Well, to me, the sacred feminine is really kind of approaching the divine through the embodiment of the female. And I feel like it's crucial today because, you know, as many of us know, probably your listeners, we've had a very divine masculine image for a few thousand years. And I feel that, you know, kind of now we're having this incredible time of coming back to the feminine. And for me, the earth is a very feminine wisdom. And this is something that teaches us directly how to be present and how to cultivate a more sustainable existence, and also to nourish our souls as women, and to find the precious sacredness, you know, as mothers, as sisters, as people connecting on the earth.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yes. So tell us, from your interpretation, who is the goddess to you, and what has shaped your experience of her?
Well, so many things. I mean, I first found the Wicca because I had cancer actually at 19.
Oh, wow.
And during
19?
That, yeah, I think that's why I've already done so many things. I kind of was faced with this mortality reality, you know, and at that moment you're really making a decision, you know, are you going to be present with your heart or, you know, and so it was actually a real opportunity. I really feel like any kind of healing crisis is this incredible opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so during that process, I danced a lot, and I went to a lot of these raves, and I would dance, and I felt like that was such a huge part of my healing. It wasn't. I also got chemotherapy, and it wasn't just the chemo, and so then I really started to wonder, what is this life force, you know, what is this? And asked for a teacher, and I met a woman. She invited me to her circle, and it was a Wicca circle, which I had no idea what Wicca was. And I went, and, you know, they're calling in the directions, and just the idea of the divine as feminine was pretty new. I don't recall thinking about that beyond Mary. You know, I was raised Catholic. And so to come into contact with that was really this profound turning point. And then, of course, Wicca is so linked to the moon phases, growing plants, and the elements, and it just felt really good. It just really nourished me. It was very immediate.
So it was a homecoming then.
Yeah, it was. It was like, wow, I'm a woman, and why isn't the divine feminine too?
Yeah.
Well, that's I like how you put that. That it was very immediate. So what was the basis for writing Sacred Path of Reiki?
Well, so then, you know, I learned Reiki from my Wicca priestess, and so those things kind of fused together and went off to India, where the goddess also is so strong there, and to just experience all these different forms of the feminine and then have the opportunity to practice so much Reiki. Because we were running a guest house, we had really just hundreds of people coming through, staying in the rooms and wanting to train with me and receive sessions. So through those many years, I really started to develop wanting to ground Reiki, which to me is more ethereal in a way. It's more kind of like the celestial energy, I would say. And because of my Wicca training and my connection to Earth, wanting to ground that and find more of a balance between the two. And then, you know, Sacred Path of Reiki was really the emerging philosophy from those, that fusion.
You spent 7 years traveling throughout India and living there. That's really amazing. Can you share some of your experiences there and how they helped shape your philosophy of life?
Yeah, it is amazing. It seems almost like a dream now. So
I mean, seven years is a whole cycle, you know.
I know. I mean, it was broken up. It was a year traveling. I met my now husband, and we went off and traveled in India. And then living there, you know, one of the main things for me was that by living in India, I got to experience people who were just really connected to the earth, like the women in the village, everything that they grow in the garden, they use in their oils, they use in their cooking. There's like an immediate use for that. They use all of the coconut. They make all their, you know, thatch roof. Just that kind of experience. The markets, the markets are amazing. So just experiencing living in kind of what I feel like now we're trying to go back towards, more sustainable, more interconnected. And then alongside this reverence for the goddess and the god, you know, together. And every evening the women light the lamps and put the flowers in their hair. And even though, of course, India has, you know, these issues, and there's definitely women's issues, and there's some, you know, all kinds of different things to navigate, at the same time, they have this direct kind of conversation with the divine. So if, for example, someone is acting so angry and getting very upset about something and maybe slamming the door and cursing, then they'll say, oh, she is manifesting Kali, you know, the goddess, the dark, fierce goddess. They don't say, oh, what's wrong with her, you know? It's not like her. It's, you know, various moods. And, you know, maybe, you know, like in Hinduism, there's just these hundreds and hundreds of gods and goddesses, and they're all representative of all these moods and ways of being. And that was just so amazing to live with people who are really experiencing that, and then also the countless lives. You have so many lives. And so their whole kind of perspective of the world is so very different, actually, than the American or the Judeo-Christian root perspective.
Well, the whole culture is just saturated in the religion and the spirituality and the divine and the sacredness and all. It's just everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. All the
time. I have heard that. I have heard that. That it's like just constant from people who've been there and, you know, for extended stays. But it's like just always, always being in that field of the divine and spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so they've been practicing their rituals and their, they call it pujas, for thousands of years. So it's just very deeply saturated. If you go to a temple, that may be a spot where people have honored the goddess maybe 10,000 years even. So the feeling coming off of that is, it hits you. Yeah.
Well, I remember, if anybody's ever experienced this, you'll know what I'm talking about. I remember, and Oberon, I was with you, we went to the British Museum, and remember we saw, we were in the hall with huge statues of Sekhmet, and I can't remember, Osiris was another one, and I remember feeling drawn to going up and putting my hands on the statues, and, oh man, the energy, I mean, I had all kinds of images flash through my brain, and there was this instant connection. It was incredible. The magic is just incredible when something is that old and has absorbed that much energy over such a long period of time.
For sure.
Yeah, I don't think that we here in the West can really appreciate that because we've been disconnected from our own heritage and we're trying to reclaim it. I mean, that's what the whole pagan movement is all about, really, is reclaiming our lost heritage and legacy. But to actually live in a place where it has never been broken and it has been continuous for forever, you know, that must be just a truly amazing experience and inspiring.
Definitely. Yeah, but it's kind of like the double-edged sword thing, too, because at the same time, especially with women's issues, there's kind of a lockdown on some of these traditions, not being able to break out of things that do need to change. So for me, it feels like we're at this precious time in the West where we have a lot of freedom to really begin, you know, we're reclaiming and reinventing.
Well, it always struck me as odd that there can be both of this incredible goddess culture in India and as well as this absolutely brutal treatment of women in so many aspects of the culture. I don't see how it's possible for those two things to coexist.
I know. India's so the paradox. Living in a paradox. It's funny, though, because I did live there so long that things aren't quite as what they seem. You know, we go in with our own lens as a Westerner and the way that we perceive maybe, you know, oppression looks a certain way to us. And then when you're living there, things aren't always what they seem. There's a lot of complexity. And you realize, you know, of course there's oppression here. It's just taking different forms. So, yeah. And it was, I also felt like living in India, whenever I would come up to some kind of conclusion, oh, India's this way, then the opposite would always reveal itself.
Wow.
You know, like, then there's these women who are completely free, wandering around, dreadlocks, riding the trains for free. They're like the babas. You know, there's the male, but there's women, female ones, too.
Oh, there are.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, so.
Well, so it is truly a land of paradoxes. Fascinating. Well, we need to take a little break right now, and then we will return to continue this wonderful conversation. And we'd like to invite our listeners to please feel free to call in with questions and comments. The number is 347-308-8222.
Water shared is life shared. Founded by Oberon Zell in 1962, the Church of All Worlds is one of the oldest neo-pagan religions and the first to claim the identity of pagan. Inspired by Heinlein's sci-fi novel, Stranger in a Strange Land, CAW has been a major influence in the emergence of modern paganism. Originating the ritual of water sharing, CAW was the first church to legally ordain women as priestesses and to sanction gay and poly marriages. Thou art goddess, enter the nest at www.caw.org.
Pagans Tonight Radio Network is a nightly podcast on Blog Talk Radio with a variety of shows exploring news, information, entertainment, and ideas from a pagan point of view around the globe. Join us on Crystal Web Mondays with Ed and Marianne, exploring where crystals, crafts, and psychic powers converge, followed by Mark Mandrake and Blue Fire Witch on the Less Traveled Path. On Tuesday, Circle Craft Study with Selena Fox, followed by Pagan Priest, a show for the men of our community. On Wild Wednesday, Where Anything Goes, with Ed the Pagan and me, Tracy Logan Wood, followed by Over to Oberon, featuring Grey School's headmaster, Wizard Oberon Zell Ravenheart, and Green Egg Editrix Ariel. Corellian Thursdays with Terry Power discussing the nature of the divine, followed by Reverend Don Lewis, the Chancellor of the Corellian Tradition. Fridays, join Pagan Priestess with a variety of well-versed women from around the nation, followed by Betwixt and Between, the most magical places between the worlds, featuring hosts The Amazing Rainbow and Al, talking all about the transitional doorways between youth and the emerging adult pagan community. Saturday, Pagans Tonight in Espanol, led by Reverend Lamatic and Yoko, followed by Circle's Pagan Warrior Radio with David and Janet Ewing, a show that supports military pagans, their families, friends, and supporters. Sunday, Back to Basics with Danielle and Brett, followed by Variety Show with Music, Myth, and Trivia with Liz. Please visit us at www.pagans.tonight to see show schedules for all shows or find us on Facebook and Twitter. Pagans Tonight is sponsored in part by WSI International, your online source for pagan, Wiccan, and magical education. Tune in and join us. Thanks, and blessed be.
Before the internet, there was Green Egg, founded in 1968 by Oberon Zell. For over 40 years, Green Egg has been the leading journal of the emerging pagan movement, garnering numerous awards and worldwide recognition for its journal art, articles, and its controversial forum. Green Egg is now online as a beautiful full-color e-zine, edited by Ariel Montserrat and designed by Tom Donahue. Moreover, it's free. Collect back issues and subscribe at www.greeneggzine.com. Because legends never die.
Trusted. The ancients drew that power true on temple floors and walls and cast it flaming in the air with barbarous words and calls. And witches know the power of that holy mystery, a symbol of the mystic way through all of history. Though you thought you had destroyed the memory of the ancient way, still the people light the veil fires every year on solstice day, and on Beltane even Samhain you can find us on the hill, invoking once again the triple.
We are the same people, stronger than before.
And more.
And that was We Won't Wait Any Longer by Gwydion Penderwyn, our great late CAW bard, as performed by Gypsy on her latest amazing album, Spirit Nation. This is Oberon, and we're back here on Over to Oberon and Ariel with our special guest, feminist teacher, visionary artist, author, poet, and dreamer, Catalin Coda. We're talking about women's spirituality, the emerging sacred feminine, shamanism, and Reiki healing.
So, Catalin, who has influenced and inspired you?
So many people. It was so beautiful to hear that song. It was, I was thinking of Starhawk and, you know, kind of those original reclaiming people who really, women who are bringing that awareness. I really love Clarissa Pinkola Estes and some of the other, Demetra George, the people, the women that have... for me, talked about the Dark Mother. That's been something that's been very powerful. Along with my teachers, I have Tibetan Buddhist teachers, and that's just been something that has brought my heart to this very open place to really cultivate compassion and then use that openness and courage, fearlessness that I see in them. To, you know, awaken my gifts and help others, women and men, you know, awakening their gifts. Mm-hmm. And then the last bit I would say with that would be the land and the earth, you know, specifically India and Hawaii is also this precious places, but everywhere we are on the earth, you know, it's speaking and singing. She is singing to us and so great inspiration.
And with wonderful teachers, too.
Indeed. Catalin, your book, The Sacred Path of Reiki, this is something that Reiki practitioners would be drawn to, I take it. So tell us a little about that.
Yeah, I'm bringing the path of Reiki, the traditional Usui, and then along with tools and exercises to really ground that practice into something that's cultivating a spiritual practice so that you're able to maybe go a little bit deeper with the Reiki. I found that a lot of students maybe had heard about it or received an attunement and then didn't know very much about it. And I just thought just the very practice of laying on hands and working in the energy field was this really rich opportunity to grow spiritually. And then, of course, healing, you know, is this wonderful way to assist other people.
All right.
Yeah. Well, can you tell us about your book, Fire of the Goddess?
Yes. So as I was we were starting to decide to leave India, and actually at the time I was breastfeeding my daughter and just sort of feeling this new role as mother and then really wanting to explore what the sacred feminine was, but I wanted it to be bigger than mother. And then because of my Wicca roots, maiden crone, I felt, you know, there's so many more archetypes. What are those other archetypes? Like, what is it that speaks to me? And I just was sitting one evening and I think 7 or 8 of them came right away, archetypes, you know, really fire bearer, initiate, and healer, and these different really potent keys of the sacred feminine. And so I wanted to begin to put that together in a book format. And in doing so, I somehow decided to choose the goddesses to fit the archetypes, which ended up being quite an adventure because the goddess is this sort of massive, webby, you know, intricate, so precise and yet so vast. And so to try to capture her in archetypes and then associate her with myths and different, you know, her different forms was quite a challenge, but it was a journey. I really felt like I was being taken on a journey through the process. It didn't feel like the writing of my other two books at all. It was,
Can you give us an example of one of the archetypes in the Fire of the Goddess and how we can use this ourselves, or how women particularly can use this as inspiration for daily life?
Yeah, yeah. One that really inspires me is Pele.
Pele, right, yeah.
Yeah, the goddess. It was so nice to come back to a place that honors a goddess, because it's not so prevalent, you know, in the mainstream of America. So after leaving India, we ended up here, and Pele's, the archetype I associate her with is fire bearer. And she's this very fierce, dominating, strong, powerful figure in Hawaiian mythology. And, you know, with the lava, when you drive around the island and you just see, you know, her blazing forms, both living lava and then also, you know, what she's left behind. And it's this really cutting creation, destruction, you know, she's destroying to, in order to create this new land. And I feel, for me, that is really a symbol of where we're at right now, like what I was saying before, really bringing this cutting, I call it cutting edge indigenous, you know, taking what we can from the past and then reinventing. And Pele is definitely doing that. And kind of seeing it like a seed, you know, you have this one ember, and that one ember can spark 100 fires.
Oh, that's a fabulous one. Pele is a great example of a powerful archetype. Yeah.
So now, Catelyn, you're currently working as a shamanic healer. Why do you think shamanism is important in our contemporary world?
Well, you know, the shamanism for me came out of doing so much Reiki practice. I was doing all this Reiki, and I started to see power animals and kinds of things. And at first I was like, no, you know, I don't know what to do with that. And then just sort of started to open up to it, and I realized it was just really beneficial for people to experience kind of connecting their healing process through animals and plants. And so shamanism, I feel like, is, again, this direct experience with the earth. And that feels something, you know, with the sustainability and the kinds of things that we're trying to recreate in our visions and our world right now is really important. And,
There's so many people, I'm willing to bet maybe most people in modern life, that just don't have a connection to the earth. And I think that we're meant to have that. In other words, we're like, you know, it'd be like a tree with no roots, with no dirt, nothing to hold it, you know.
Yeah, well, modern Western civilization, certainly in the Western monotheistic traditions, are motherless children. I mean, they have deprived themselves, really, and have forgotten their own mother. It's a tragic, tragic thing. So there is work to do. Right now, it's time for us to take another little break, and then we'll be back. And we'd like to invite our listeners to please call in, if you wish, with comments and questions. The number is 347-308-8.
Sacred Art for Your Magical Life. Mythic Images is dedicated to the rebirth of mythology and the awakening of Gaia. We invite you to explore our collection of pagan and goddess-oriented images, including Oberon's famous millennial Gaia. Oberon and Morning Glory Zell create museum-quality replicas, devotional statuary, books, posters, and magical jewelry for Wicca, pagan, and all nature-based religions. Explore the Mythic Images catalog at www.mythicimages.com.
Beauty of the earth, white moon on the water, you are she whom we find at the end of desire.
This is Crystal Blanton, and I am very excited to present a new segment on Pagans Tonight called the Dynamics Corner segment, where we will be working to bridge the gap between paganism and effective tools for leadership. Once a month, I will be discussing a topic related to leadership and offering provoking thoughts, tools, and ideas for ways to deal with some of the dynamics that come up in our community. Join us on Pagans Tonight and listen for the next segment of the Dynamics Corner with me, Crystal Blanton.
Yeah.
Kansas City's Heartland Spiritual Alliance proudly presents its 27th annual Heartland Pagan Festival, Dawning of a New Day. This coming Memorial Day weekend, May 24th through the 28th, 2012, at the magical Gaia Retreat Center in McLuth, Kansas. Join us for one of the largest pagan festivals in the United States. Honored speakers are Selena Fox, Christopher Penzick, Kara Cahulan, Barbara Criswell, and Nels Lindy. Musical guests will be Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Wendy Rule, Flanagan's Right Hook, Big Bad Gina, and Brian Henke. You'll also experience rituals, workshops, a vision quest, nightly bonfires, and shop at the Mystical Merchant's Circle. Information and registration online at www.kchsa.org or call us at 816-813-8167.
Thanks for sticking around through our commercial break. If you don't already have a Blog Talk Radio account, you can get one for free by simply registering. And now, back to the magical world of Oberon and Ariel.
All right, this is Oberon, and we're back here on Over to Oberon and Ariel with our special guest, feminist teacher, visionary artist, author, poet, and dreamer, Kathleen Cota. We've been talking about her upcoming book, Fire of the Goddess, which will be released in July. Kathleen, in the book you're working on now, you fuse Reiki, shamanism, and Buddhism. So how does it work to bring together such varied traditions, and how will this benefit people?
Actually, you know, Fire of the Goddess was released last summer, so that's already out
now.
Oh, it
was.
Available now.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, it
yeah.
already was. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And
somehow I got it the other way around. Okay,
yeah.
Good. Congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the book I'm working on now, which I'm hoping to complete by the end mm-hmm. of June, is Reiki Warrior, and it's I feel like it's kind of my heart teachings of, like you just said, the fusion of Reiki, Buddhism, and the sacred feminine with shamanism. And I guess the core thing that comes up for me is really direct experience. All three of those teachings encourage students to have a direct experience of healing through Reiki, laying on hands, shamanism, direct experience with the earth, you know, finding your connection to the earth, finding your power animals, finding your way in the medicine wheel or whatever you want to call it with the directions. Mm-hmm. And then as well as Buddhism is this incredible approach of direct experience, you know, being really present with who you are now, what's going on, what is it that we can is workable right here, right now, and how can we begin to promote healing in that situation.
All right.
So now what is the Reiki Warrior philosophy, and why is that important?
So I feel that the Reiki Warrior philosophy is really to embody the sacred. So using spiritual technology, like using healing, laying on hands, using ceremony, even in a very simple way, using making a sacred space. So embodying that and then becoming a healer through that. So being able to apply all of those tools in a way that's effective and more concrete.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. It sounds like you like, I don't know, what I'm getting out of this is that you feel that the power of touch is very important.
Yes, I do, and that was one thing I felt that was missing in my shaman training. You know, I with the shamanism, you journey over and over to the upper and lower worlds, and you get all this information, and I've just found that by fusing that practice with just the basic touching and the deep relaxation of Reiki has been really incredible for my clients. You know, it also helps ground in the energy and just puts them, you know, just like even starting with some Reiki, you kind of open them up to that experience, because shamanism can be quite life-changing. It's going right to the core issue and addressing that, and kind of the opposite, I would say, maybe of therapy on one level. Instead of processing, you know, on that sort of mental, emotional, it's going right to the soul and attempting to root out and change what needs to be changed there.
Now, you're using the term warrior here in a somewhat unusual sense, I suppose. I mean, it seems that warriors and healers are almost diametrically opposed. I'm reading a novel right now about this warrior culture the ancient times. It was really horrible, really, you know, as opposed to a healing goddess culture. The two are are opposed against each other. So when I think of warriors, I'm thinking of these, you know, Genghis Khan and his hordes or something. So obviously you're meaning something very different by the term warrior.
Yeah, I know, that's a great point. Yeah, and I'm taking it, it's my inspiration is definitely from the Bodhisattva, or the spiritual warrior. And, you know, it came out of Tibetan culture. They did have fierce warriors, but it was kind of transformed into this being who's willing to be fearless in the face of dark times or troubled times. And also it's a person or being, the Bodhisattva is someone who actually foregoes enlightenment in order to benefit all the beings first until all sentient beings reach enlightenment. And so they use warrior because it takes a lot of courage and a lot of bravery. And Chogyam Trungpa, who's one of my biggest inspirations, a Tibetan Buddhist teacher, is passed now, but he talks about the Native American warrior and how when they would go into battle, they would do so and they would give their all. They were willing to die, and they weren't battling to dominate necessarily. It was more just that pure, like, connection with one-on-one and just to see what happens in this very open, fierce, wild, courageous way. And I could link it kind of, I had one of my first shamanic journeys was where I was running through the tundra and it felt like the Sami people. I found out later, much later, about the Sami people. And the people in my journey had just killed a bear, and the bear spirit was above the bear, and they were absorbing the spirit of this bear, and there was so much beauty in that absorption, and the spirit of the bear was really offering itself. So there was this kind of communion in that warriorship, if that makes sense. Uh-huh. So it's coming from more of like the fearlessness and the courage.
I see the fearlessness and the courage. So what are the healing principles that you are then using in this context with the, and how are these important for other healers and practitioners?
Yeah, so I have these different tools, and for example, making an offering, setting intention, grounding, cleansing, and purifying. And these, you know, again, are also inspired by Wicca and that usage, but as well as shamanism, you find all of those things. So it just, I feel like it builds more of an anchor, and so that the sacred space, for example, that's created is more potent, more powerful, and those kinds of tools can just help assist the healer in their path.
Wow. It sounds like you have a very rich inner life. I mean, that's really what this stuff is all about, you know?
Which is right, that's why I need to ground, you know? So I encourage grounding and staying, you know, present with what is. So, you know, so kind of finding that balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That can be a very tricky thing, trying to balance all that and trying to stay present.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what I found.
Mm-hmm. And also I find sometimes it can get very conceptual, you know, like, let's say the water of the West or something. It can become this whole concept. Or I'll ask someone, do you want to call the West? And then they start to mentally, what is the West? What is the West? Instead of just kind of facing the West and maybe having a feeling and allowing that to move through. And so yeah, I really encourage that, having that direct experience and then, you know, having those tools where you're grounded and you feel safe and you feel okay to just let yourself be open to the experience and express to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I think that's really what it's about is being able to let go and just let it let the energies flow through us.
Mm, yeah, absolutely.
There's no substitute for experiencing things like that, I think. So, what inspired you to begin to write books?
Well, that I kind of came in with. I apparently, according to my mother, I hope she's listening, she says I taught myself how to read by the time I was 4, which seems astonishing, but
wow.
I think I was on a mission. And so then I started writing stories by the time I was 6 or 7. I have a first story from when I was 8 in a journal.
Wow.
And so I've just always been a natural writer. For me, it's like breathing. And I wrote a fantasy novel. It took me about 10 years, but that. And then just one thing led to another as far as getting into the book format. I had a friend who's published with Llewellyn, and, you know, she encouraged me to write about Reiki. I really kind of thought of myself, I think, more as like the beat poet type for a while. Even though I was doing all this Reiki, I definitely have been one who's been somewhat dragged to the past by the spirits, you know. I have resisted for sure at times, but they come and they're insistent, and maybe that's why the warrior archetype speaks to me, is to step up and face that, take some level of courage.
Well, and being a warrior also requires an awful lot of self-discipline.
Yes.
That's a very good point, yeah.
Yeah, as do these other practices, shamanism and Wicca and all those other things. It requires a lot of self-discipline.
Yeah.
Well, Caitlin, what sort of other projects have you got going on then? You see, obviously, you're a very, very busy woman.
It seems that way.
What else are you doing?
We
also
relax in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. And what workshops are you hosting, too?
Yeah. Oh, the workshops. Yeah, I have one coming up. I'm co-teaching with Kelly Lynn. She's a yoga Anusara teacher, great yoga teacher. And we're going to be, we just did our first one at Kalani in Hawaii. It's a retreat center on the Big Island.
Oh.
And it's for women, and so we focus on shamanism and the sacred feminine and then really embody that through the yoga practice also. And then people, you know, having this lovely time in Hawaii.
Yeah.
So that's coming up November 18th through the 23rd of this year. And then we will also be taking a group of women to India next March, the second 2 weeks of March.
Huh.
Yeah, and we want to bring women who would feel more comfortable in a group. I've traveled there extensively, and so has my partner, Kelly Lynn, my, you know, co-lead in this. And, to experience Ayurveda, which is the traditional Indian healing, as well as goddess temples there, and just feel kind of more safe in that kind of way of doing it in a group.
Well, it's good to have somebody who's been there and as much as you have to lead the way. That must be amazing trips that you do there. Did you do a lot of this, goddess tours and all to India?
Oh, we're just starting. I mean, we hosted people when they would come when I was living there, and I taught a lot of workshops there. But this will be our first run next March in this way, yeah.
Wow, that sounds so exciting. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've never been there. I'd love to go to India someday, but I've talked to so many people who have been, and it just sounds like, you know, a journey to another world or something.
You know?
It is.
Wow. You have to. Well, you really can't prepare for it, you know.
I remember talking to somebody years ago who had gone to India for like 6 months or something, and he said the street numbers there are really different, he said, because people are so intuitive. You know, they really focus more on the right brain and more spiritual, that street numbers don't they're not like here. Mm. They don't go numerically. They're like how the house number 1 on that street was the first house built. The second house may be 2 blocks down, and so that's number 2. And it kind of have to know, you know, where you're going, or be really psychic.
Wow. Yeah. So they're numbered in chronological order rather than by distance on the road. That must really be bizarre.
That's what
but I can see that, yeah.
Is it true?
I don't know, but I don't remember the numbering. I feel like we didn't even have a number. It was just the name of our place. But it is very circular thinking there. It's not linear. And if you try to do things linearly, it usually doesn't work very well.
Yeah.
But it also brings to mind this one little sweet story of, I remember asking Akash, the house owner, about the coconuts falling. It was the first time I live in the tropics. I was like, does anyone ever get hit by the coconuts? And he looked at me. He was shocked that I would ask this. And he was like, no, the trees know. They know you're there. I was
wow.
Of course. Why didn't I know that?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Okay.
That's not another world. That's a whole other planet.
Wow, that's wild. That's
yeah.
That's, you know, I've often wondered about that myself, but... I did spend some time in Indonesia or in New Guinea where there was coconuts all over the place, and these are heavy things you'd be falling your head, but nobody ever seemed to have them fall on them, so that's a trip. Wow.
Well, speaking of things that might fall on you, this is Tracy, and you have caller.
Oh, good.
Ooh.
Well, better get it in quick here. We're almost at the end of the show, so who we got?
Oh, you have plenty of time. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Laja Nagini.
Hi.
Dave, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I wanted to, one, congratulate you guys on your year.
Thank you.
I'm catching up on the archives. And two, I wanted to thank the lady for writing the book. I admit I haven't read it in the last couple of years, but I've got a copy. I loved it when I read it. Unfortunately, it's packed because I've only got so many books I can have in my small apartment out. But I really enjoyed it because I'm also studying Tibetan Buddhism. Right now I'm hanging out with a yoga group doing Hindu chanting. I'm a student at the Gray School, and I'm sort of similar to what she wrote about, and I just love the book, and I wanted to thank her also.
All right.
Well, there you go. There's an endorsement. And those of you at home, I know this lady, and she knows what she's talking about. So that's a good recommendation, good endorsement.
Indeed. Well, that's great. You know, there's nothing like when you put something like that out in a book to get feedback from people that it touched them, and that's just a tremendous gift. And so it's always nice to hear from people that that your book made a difference for them. So that's great.
Yeah, that's really the main point.
Yes. Well, we're down to the end of our show, and we'd like to thank you for being our guest tonight, Carolyn. It was just great having you on the show and talking about Reiki and all this stuff.
Thank you. Mahalo. Thank you. Mahalo. You're making me want to get on a plane and go to Hawaii. Well, you might be able to do that.
Yes, I know. I've been there a couple of times, and it was wonderful, just wonderful.
Yeah.
I always want to go back. All righty. Well, we will not be having a guest next week because Ariel and I like to save the last week of each month just to talk amongst ourselves. Have you given any thought to what we might want to be talking about next week, Ariel?
I sure have. I thought that we could talk about, that we might want to share some of our stories about weird, unusual experiences that we've had. Like, I have an out-of-body experience that I'd like to share. And, just sort of, you know, weird things like that. And Oberon, you certainly have any number of weird tales like that to tell that are true.
I do, definitely. Yeah, you know, weird tales, are us. Okay, that's great. So that's our show for tonight. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday, same pagan time, same pagan station, and be sure to check out Catalin's websites at katalinkoda.com and Sacred Path Reiki, sacredpathreiki.com. So merry meet.
And merry part.
And merry meet again.
Again.
Good night.
Good night, Tom and Aubrey.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on WSI-sponsored Pagans Tonight Radio Network. You can hear us every night right here on Blog Talk Radio or download us later on iTunes. please check our schedule for accurate show times. For all questions, comments, or show suggestions, you can email us at pagans tonight@gmail.com and let us know how we're doing. We'd love to hear from you. You can also visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on LiveJournal. We invite you to tune in again tomorrow night. Good night, and blessed be.